The week before coming to Cape Cod, my wife and I attended a public meeting at which Laramie officials revealed their plan for a recreational trail. The path will follow a ridgeline along the northern edge of town, beyond which lies a stretch of prairie platted for a high-tech industrial park. Millions of dollars in public monies have been designated to provide infrastructure in the hope that, if we build it, they will come, and bring high-paying jobs in clean industry, of course. The soft-spoken parks director proudly showed an artist's rendering of the site, with trees lining sections of the path and shading benches. My wife, who rarely criticizes others, engaged me in her whispered critique of the plan, with which I wholeheartedly agreed. Having asked what she felt was her fair share of questions earlier in the evening, it became up to me to broach our strange aesthetic objection. Henry David Thoreau described Cape Cod as a desolate landscape, which his traveling companion compared to the rolling prairies of the West. For his part, Thoreau couldn't decide whether the dunes were more like a harsh, sandy desert with desiccated grasses or an alpine expanse with the wind having brutalized the woody plants into a coastal krumholz. Sometimes he found the land to be enchantingly bleak and wondrously raw, but in other passages, Thoreau recounted that he shuddered at the thought of living there and taking our afternoon walks over these barren swells. Having come from the forests of New England, he found these small rustling groves of oaks and locusts and whispering pines made a little paradise near Eastham. And he wrote approvingly of an artificial forest being planted in Barnstable County. Both in the Laramie Valley and Cape Cod, many people desire trees. The sylvan retreats of planters from 1849 to 2013. And there's reason to believe that both places had more trees. Well, before the pilgrims used the woods for fuel and timber, and the pioneers converted trees into railroad ties. Evolutionary psychologists confidently assert that our landscape preferences are rooted in the African savanna, with trees generously scattered across a grassland pocketed with small lakes, the ecological predecessor of the modern golf course. But for tree planters who wish to turn back the clock, ecological restoration faces the daunting problem of identifying the golden age, an Eden that defines how the world ought to look. In North America, was this ideal 500 years ago, before Europeans crossed the Atlantic? Or 15,000 years ago, before humans crossed the Bering Strait? Or when? Perhaps in Laramie and Provincetown, it was whenever there were once trees, which seems like a rather arbitrary choice. Back in Laramie, I raised my hand and said, "My wife and I are likely in the minority, but we think the path is more beautiful without trees. Don't get us wrong. We like trees, but we love the grassland. A tree-lined trail across the prairie looks like we're trying to be somewhere else, and we chose to be here." There's much to be said for urban forests and treed avenues. Perhaps there's even something to be said for zoos, amusement parks, escalators, 20-story buildings, and Jaguar dealerships. For better or worse, Wyoming, and from what I can tell, most of Cape Cod, lacks these amenities. After my statement, a number of folks expressed their agreement. Trees were fine in city parks and backyards, but the Laramie Valley is a land of grass and shrubs. I don't know what the residents of Cape Cod would say about a tree-lined path along the dunes, but I'm guessing there'd be whispered conversations and firm but polite objections. They seem like that sort of people. Finding happiness in places and in people is much the same. One ought not to get married in the hope that your spouse will change once you're living together. And if you can't live with the toilet seat up or the cabinet doors never quite closed, or the ridges and dunes covered in grass, maybe you ought to keep looking.